Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this fellowship hour as we gather around the Word of God. We declare, as always, that the entrance of your Word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be, even now, in Jesus' name, as we look into the perfect law of liberty, the Word of God. Speak to us, Lord. Let the words that we read out of this book of Romans come alive in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we give you all praise and glory. Amen and amen. Well, we started the book of Romans as a deep dive Bible study yesterday. And in chapter 1, subtitle for yesterday's lesson was The Gospel of Christ, the Power of God unto Salvation. And I think we made it through, of the first 17 or so verses of the book of Romans, chapter 1. A quick review, I'll take a minute or two to do a quick review. We talked about how Paul introduced himself. We talked about, how he also introduced Christ. Then we talked about, how he addressed the people he was writing to. He addressed them as saints. We talked about that. We talked about, how he also spoke about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how that he was proud to be a preacher of that gospel. Praise the Lord. So we talked about a number of things. If you missed the lesson, please check out the replay. Today, I want to pick up the reading of this chapter from verse 18. Again, Romans chapter 1. This is verse 18. I'm reading from the King James Version. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was hardened or darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men walking that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debates, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, spiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So that's the reasoning of the last section of Romans chapter 1. Well, let's now see if we can break it down. Praise the Lord. This reveals the state of the world because the world chose to, you know, reject God's righteousness and the knowledge of God. And so, you know, we're going to see the consequences. If you start from verse 17, you will see where it talks about the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, you know, but the people have refused the righteousness of God, even when they knew about God, even through the works of his hands. They have chosen their own evil ways. And Paul here is describing a number of things that the evil that the world practices and the judgment of God, how God gave the world up to do even more vile things, and the consequences of, you know, the world rejecting the knowledge and righteousness of God. So let's talk about it some more. Now, we see the state of the world here, and even though this thing was written many, many years ago, 2000, etc., we see that it is still very relevant today, because here in the things that are revealed here are the things that people are practicing even in today. You know, we see that he talked about they knew God, but they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Yeah, I mean, this is almost like the state of people today. You know, they know God, but they choose to not glorify him as God, choose to not be thankful to him, but became vain in their imaginations. And God, you know, allowed their foolish heart to be darkened. When they professed themselves to be wise, they actually became fools as far as God is concerned. Now, what did they do? They changed the glory of the incorruptible God to an image made like to corruptible man. And they worship the work of their hands. You know, people make idols, images, and different things that they bow down to. You know, some people worship the sun, the moon, the birds, animals, and creeping things, and so on. And it says they worship the creature rather than the creator. Now, because of all of this, here are the consequences of the judgment of God against the world when they reject the knowledge of God and the righteousness of God. Here it goes in verse 24. God also gave them up. So wherefore, that means because of these things, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the loss of their own hearts, the son of their own bodies between themselves. Now, they changed the truth of God into a lie. You know, now, God created male and female. Male and female, he created them. You know, we're told he made Adam and Eve. And we're told that these were companions that God put together. Not Adam and Steve, but Adam and Eve. Now, we see that the world has gone crazy. I mean, I don't know. I think 5 decades ago, when I was still a teenager, trying to get into my early 20s, you know, back then, you know, at least in the area of the world that I lived in then, and even when I was in, you know, high school and all of that, the state of immorality was frowned upon. Even though the world was not, our culture was not exactly moral, but immorality was frowned upon. Homosexuality and all these things were frowned upon back then. Today, not only is it not frowned upon? It's actually glorified, promoted, and, almost becomes the order of the day. And it changed the truth of God into a lie. Well, let's see all the things that he's saying about here. You know, God has given them up to vile affections. The women, they changed the natural use unto that which is against nature. You know, what is the natural use of the woman? Well, be the helpmeet for the man. The woman and her husband being united as one. Today, they have changed their natural use from that to something else. Selling their bodies and doing all kinds of things. They don't even stop there. It's women on women, men on men. You read these things here. It says right here. You know, it says, well, men also change their natural use instead of the man having his wife. Now, men are now burnt with lust against, towards each other. I don't even know what that's all about. But it's handwriting on the wall. You know, there is the handwriting on the wall again, because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Well, what happened in the days of Lot? Well, it wasn't just the marrying and giving in marriage. It was all the sodomy and different things. And today, it's actually worse, because people in the olden days used to frown at these things. Now it's glorified. And countries such as America, that should lead the world in righteousness, they're actually leading the world in this unrighteousness. And the handwriting, and let me say it very clearly now, I love America, I love Nigeria, I love everywhere. But any nation that turns their back to the Lord, well, the handwriting is on the wall. The handwriting is on the wall for America because of all the evil that they have done in perpetrating this great evil, even around the world. Some of that, they're trying to change, but there's such a great evil across the land. And even countries in Africa that, these things used to be an abomination to, are now embracing these things. And the Bible says God gave them up, gave them up. When decades ago, when this homosexuality thing started becoming rampant, the Bible says that God gave them up, to all these evil things come upon them. Now, we saw that there was AIDS and all these other things, that came upon them. But some of these things ought not even to be spoken of because it's not even natural for human beings to behave like this. Except men teach animals this nonsense. You will not see animals, you will not see a male animal mating with a male animal. It just doesn't happen. Or female on female. But actually, man is teaching them these things. Well, therefore, God gave them up to even more corruption. And they are receiving in themselves that recompense of their error that was meet. And because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind. These are the consequences of rejecting the righteousness of God. The mind becomes warped and becomes reprobate. To the point where you might almost say incorrigible, because unless the mercy of God, it's almost impossible right now to turn people back, going headlong into into destruction. We look around us today, You see the evil that's in the land. People deliberately, you know, try to throw righteousness in the face of God and do the evil. They're choosing the evil. The Bible says that, well, and they love darkness because of it too. But their deeds are evil. So they love darkness rather than come to the light, because, you know, they came to the light, their works will be reproved. But they love darkness because their deeds were evil. And I see another handwriting on the wall. One time, Daniel saw many, many tekel of her sin. Well, there's another handwriting that we see on the wall. And except that people repent, and except even nations repent from the top down, you know, there's going to be swift judgment. You say swift judgment? Yes. Not in the sense that it may happen today or tomorrow, but in the sense that when it happens, when it starts, it will come quickly. It will just come quickly, and there will be no chance, see, at that time, for anybody to repent. Now is the day of repentance. Now is the time for people better turn their hearts toward the Lord. Now, this generation will quickly end up in the beast age because they are becoming even more animalistic. I can't even go into all the things that they are doing now. You know, but, you know, to provoke God to his face, you know, the haters of God, how to do these things. Well, I tell you what, it's a challenge for us that carry the light of the gospel to let our light shine, because the light always shines brightest when it is darkest. So in these dark ones, their hearts and minds have been darkened. Well, we can bring the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to shine. They may or may not receive the gospel. If they don't receive it, then they are condemned already if they reject Christ. That's what it says in the book of John chapter 3. He said, well, those that believe on him, well, they will not be lost, and they will not perish. They will have everlasting life. But those that do not believe or reject him outright, well, they are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, so let's read it in John 3. And we're going to read from verses 16 through about 20. For God so loved the world. Most people know this scripture. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, that's what God did. Now, let me talk about the love of God a little bit here, since this is a digging deep or deep dive kind of Bible study. God loves the whole world. And people often say that, well, you know, there is no preferential treatment from God. Well, there's no preferential treatment from God when it comes to his righteousness and his severity. You know, the soul that sinneth shall die. And, you know, the soul that turns from his unrighteousness to righteousness, he shall live. In those terms, there is no preferential treatment from God. But let me tell you about a preferential kind of love that God had towards his people. Now, God loves everybody, you know, but there is a favored kind of love that comes from God that the people of the world cannot receive. There are many things that the world cannot receive. You know, number one, the world cannot receive, you know, the Holy Spirit. Why? You say, well, why can they not receive the Holy Spirit? Well, because Jesus said so, that, you know, he told the disciples, you know, that the Holy Spirit is coming, but when he comes, you come for them, but not for the world, because the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. So let's read it. You know, in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read a few verses from John 14, from maybe verse 16 and 17. Open it up here. John 14 and 16. If ye love me, right? Let me start with from 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Of course, that's the Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth. So Jesus tells who it is. Whom the world cannot receive. So Holy Spirit is not given to the world. And that right there, that tells you God's preferential dealings. You know, the world cannot. The gift of God to the world is Jesus Christ. Right there in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. So God's gift to the world is Jesus Christ. That's it. But the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, as some people call him, is God's gift to the church. Because the world cannot receive the Holy Ghost. Now Jesus is given to the world. But if they reject him, then going back to John 3 and 18, he said, well, those that receive him, in verse 16, will not perish but have everlasting life. But those that do not receive him, well, they will be condemned if they reject him. And, you know, because they have rejected the only begotten Son of God. And the condemnation is what Paul is talking about in the book of Romans. This is the condemnation. It says right here that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than the light. Their minds were darkened, according to what Paul said. And they choose rather than coming to the light, you know, that their deeds should be reproved. No, they choose evil. And that's the condemnation. Now, whosoever doeth the truth will come to the light. And his deeds may be made manifest that they are rotten God. But those who don't, they are in the shadows, in the dark, because, you know, their minds are darkened. Talking a little more about the preferential love of God. Now, the judgment of God is upon the world for the state in which the world is. That's what Romans chapter 1 is saying. See, the wrath of God is upon this world because of their choices that they have made. Now, God is a just and righteous God. He's a loving God too, people say, and they try to hide under that. But, you know, God's righteousness, you know, demands that he cannot, you know, overlook sin. He gave provision for it, but if people would turn their backs against him, well, they have themselves to blame. It's that simple. Now, the judgment of God, he said, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You know, and this even goes into religious circles. When they take the truth of God's word and, you know, twist it around and, you know, try to make either merchandise of people or gain of people or whatever, just twist the word of God. They're holding the truth in unrighteousness. Not just the world that God's against. God's against all unrighteousness. Whether that righteousness is in unbelievers, whether that unrighteousness is in unbelievers, or that unrighteousness is in so-called Christians, you know, if they are found with unrighteousness, the wrath of God is upon everybody. that is living in unrighteousness. That's what he says here. Now, let's talk a little more about the differentiated kind of love. God loves the world, so he gave Jesus, and anyone that comes to Christ, they will receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, to bring them from eternal damnation to a life in Christ. So that's John 3:16 for you. That goes to everybody. But for those, some special people that love him, well, there's something different. Now, in John 3:16, we're told about the love of God. I mean, God so loved. This is God's own action. Well, then let's talk about John 14, verses 21 to 23. But in this place, Jesus just finished talking about the Holy Spirit that's coming, whom the world cannot receive, and so forth. But when the believers receive the Holy Spirit, well, there are a few things that Jesus said the believers, you know, will be able to do. First of all, I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless, you know. And in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, ye in me, and I in you. Now, so he goes on to say in verse 21, John 14, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Well, now, that's not for the world. The world will not keep his commandments. They may not even have it. I mean, it's like they find it, they keep it. You are keepers, gatekeepers of the word of God. Now, doing it and gatekeepers of it too. So, he that does those things hath my commandments and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me. Now, let's see the benefits of, you know, this differentiated love of God, which people don't understand. They think, well, God loves everybody the same. No, sir. God doesn't love everybody the same. Now, God loves the world the same and gave them Christ. But when you come into this side, here's what Jesus said. If you have my commandments and you keep them, such a person is he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. That's a different kind of love from John 3:16. John 3:16 is already for everybody. But if you now keep his commandments and love him, you know, I mean, if you love him and keep his commandments rather, because that's how you show that you love him, then he said, my Father is going to give you a reciprocal kind of love, which is different from John 3:16. And what is it? He said, well, my Father will love him, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Now, this is not to the world now, because even one of his disciples asked, his name was called Judas, not the traitor, he had another Judas. And he said unto him, why is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Because they knew that Jesus wasn't talking about the world here, you know. And he said, well, and Jesus explained it again. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. It's very simple. And my Father, because of that, will love him. So there is a kind of love that comes from God because you love God and you are keeping his commandments. Now, this is not the love that brings salvation to the world. That's Jesus Christ. But this one here is because you love him and keep his commandments. Listen to this. Say, my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Now, this is different. This is intimacy. This is different from the other, you know, God loving the world to give them salvation. This is, you know, one-on-one now. You love the Lord. You're keeping his commandments. God said, I'm coming after you. Now, we normally think of us, of God as, you know, something. An object of worship, and some must pursue God, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near, let the unrighteous man forsake his ways, and the wicked man his thoughts. Let them return to God, and God will pardon and all these things. So we're always thinking of us seeking after God, and we must. But there is a line, and this is where I always say, there's a line that you cross that God starts to seek after you. That's right. Not just you seeking after the Lord. Now, you've been seeking after the Lord, but you get to the point where he now will come after you. Now, that's what he says here. He said, I will come to him. That's right. So it's not you just coming to the Lord now. He's now coming to you because you're keeping his commandments. That's how powerful keeping his commandments is. Now, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. You know, and well, and the wrath of God will come upon them. So that's the consequence of not keeping his sayings. All those things that Paul talked about in Romans chapter 1 comes upon people for not keeping God's commandments. However, the flip side is when you keep his commandments, he will come after you. I will come after you, he said, and I will make my abode with you, and I will manifest. This is not the universal presence of God. You know how we say God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. God is omni whatever, you know. I mean, we use all these terms for God. Well, this is different because in Psalm 16, the psalmist said, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Well, the fullness of joy, let's read it. Thou will show me the path of life. Psalm 16 and verse 11. The path of life, the real place where real living is. You say it's in the presence of the Lord. There is fullness of joy there. And his right hand there are pleasures evermore. Now, the argument is this though. If God's presence is universal, I mean, Psalm 139 tells you, I can't hide from his presence. I go to hell, I go anywhere, he's there, you know, and so on. Okay, so if God's presence is universal, and in his presence there's fullness of joy, then that means there should be fullness of joy everywhere. But that's the farthest thing from it. This world is full of sorrows. It's full of ugliness. It's full of unrighteousness. So, this presence of God that brings fullness of joy is not, repeat, it is not his universal presence. It is his revealed presence. I will reveal myself unto him. See, that's the difference. Now, God is everywhere, but God doesn't reveal himself to everything and everywhere. But the one that is seeking him, keeping his commandment, God will reveal himself to that person. And the place where that person is will be a place of joy. A place, you know, when you are in that place, one-on-one with him, hallelujah, that's the fullness of joy. Not everywhere, you know, even his presence is everywhere. There is no fullness of joy everywhere. But when you seek him to the point, you keeping his commandments, he's coming after you and making, he said, I will make my abode with him. I will reveal. They won't ask him, why you reveal to us and not them? He said, well, because they don't keep my word. But if you keep my word, I will reveal myself to you. Now that is his revealed presence. That's where the fullness of joy comes. That's what's missing in the world. That's part of the consequences of rejecting God's righteousness. When people reject God's righteousness, which is the same thing as rejecting his word, then they will not have the experience of his revealed presence. That's right. Now, they may have some benefits just because some things spill over. It's like, you know, when God causes the rain to fall, it falls on, you know, both the righteous and unrighteous, the sun and so forth, you know, but the same thing, the rain that causes the good vegetation to grow is the same one that causes the weeds to grow. So Hebrews chapter 6 talks about that. You know, the rain falls on the earth. One part brings forth good. It's blessed. The other one brings forth evil. It's cursed. The end is near unto burning. So it is the same way. Some things may spill over, but, you know, to experience the real fullness of joy, we must be in a place where we're keeping his word. Has my word and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now, the moment that you say or allow yourself to say, it doesn't matter, then you've lost, you are no longer lockstep with the Lord. People say it doesn't matter to a lot of things. You see the word of God and say, well, that doesn't matter. Well, the moment you say it doesn't matter, well, then you've lost the opportunity. Because Jesus is very clear in what he said. In fact, in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, we read the following. It says, well, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments. This is the same thing that we're reading here in John 14. Same John is writing this as well. We keep his commandments and do his pleasure. And I call these two kinds of obedience. Keeping his commandments is active obedience. You find the word of God, you keep it, and you do it. That's active obedience. Doing the things that are pleasing in his sight, that's passive obedience. You know, whether God has point blank commanded the thing or not, and if you know it is pleasing to him, you do it. And if you know it is not pleasing to him, then you don't do it. So when you are actively obeying him and also passively obeying him in doing the things that please him, then you ask anything you want. Hallelujah. And I will do it. You know, we have those things from him that we ask when we keep his commandments. Remember, he that keepeth my commandments, he it is that loveth me. And to that person, my Father is going to love him. This is different. So I love him and come to him. And I'm coming to him as well. Praise the Lord. Now, on the flip side, God, the world, the state of the world that is described in Romans chapter 1 is void of the righteousness of God. It's void of the, you know, it's not exactly void of knowledge of God. I mean, the knowledge of God is there, but people have chosen to reject his knowledge. Now, at the end of the age, though, this is what we, the agents of change, must do. We must bring in everlasting righteousness. Starting now, you know, we must create an environment of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Because, you know, the scepter of God's throne is a scepter of righteousness. So we also, as agents in that kingdom, wherever we are, we're going to bring in that righteousness. At one point in time, it's called ruling the world with a rod of iron. The book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, it says, you know, this woman that was pregnant, paining to be delivered, you know, the dragon trying to swallow her child as soon as he was born. When the child was born, it was caught up to heaven, but this child will rule the nations with a rod of iron. That's bringing in everlasting righteousness. You know that, look, people are going to submit to the Lord, because the Bible says, you know, to his name, I mean, his name's above every name, and to him, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. They can do it willingly now, or they are going to do it by the rod of iron. One way or another, this whole world is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That's right. Now, those of us who are privileged and graced right now to be able to confess it now that Jesus is Lord, we enter into a relationship, a lifelong relationship with him. You don't need to wait until you die. Enter into that relationship now. Now, those who are rebellious and refuse his lordship, they will submit under the rulership of the rod of iron. This rod of iron will put everybody in place, you know, one way or another. Now, we who have believed God, the Bible says we must be careful to maintain good works. Now, these are works of righteousness. Now, we're not saved by those works, but that's what we do when we are saved. You know, I spoke some weeks ago about the nature of the children of God. They're like God. And then it's natural for us to be good like him. Do good. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. You know, people say, well, nobody will be righteous. Well, all our righteousness like filthy rags. That's what they tell us. But, you know, they forget that that was before the cross. That's right. Before the cross, all our righteousness were like filthy rags. In Christ, he traded places with us, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness that's imputed unto us now is not filthy rags. Otherwise, what Christ did was in vain. The righteousness that we have now is God's righteousness. Listen to this in 1 John 3 and verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you and tell you that no one can be righteous. That's what he's saying. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as God is righteous. So, as a child of God, it is only natural for me to be righteous. That's it. But that's God's nature. Now, if I am engaging in acts of unrighteousness, that's not natural. What's natural for me is to be like God. So, it's natural for us to act like God, because, you know, a chip of the old block, if you want to call it that, he's the Ancient of Days after all. You can call him the old block. But it's the chip, we're a chip off of him. And we'll be like him, act like him, and so on. You know, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17 tells us, as he is, well, so are we in this world. We are to not only be like him, you know, just in our spirit, but to be like him in our mind, our soul, everything, in our thoughts, like we think like him, we reason like him, we love like him, and we function like him. That's right. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. God wants the people in the kingdom to function like him. Put Adam there. He said, function like me. You're now in my image. You're now in my likeness. Go out there and function like me. And bring the earth into alignment. The earth, heaven was colonizing the earth. And Adam was the one to do it. So you do it. Bring everything into alignment. Subdue everything. You know, and bring them into alignment. Well, that was the plan. So, God wants us to function like him. Now, that invitation is out there for everybody, but not everybody will take it. Now, those who do take it, well, to them, the Bible says, they are given the right to become sons of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. You know, many people reject him. He said, he came to his own, and his own knew him now, and they rejected him. But as many as received him, even to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Now, so when you receive the Christ, you know, there is power inside of you to become. So there is a process of becoming. You know, it's not just immediately like that. You know, Christ himself took him 30 years. You know, he was the Son of God declared with power already, as we read yesterday. But from the time he was born, Isaiah 9:6, to the time he was presented as a son, born as a child, presented as a son, took 30 years. So now, for us also, many of us have been struggling with coming out of this cocoon nature, getting into that butterfly stage. But ladies and gentlemen, it is right around the corners. There are two things that are going on now simultaneously. God is judging the world because of unrighteousness. And this is the judgment, you know, that, you know, they remain in the dark because their deeds were evil. Did you know also, according to Hebrews chapter 11, when God was talking about Noah in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now, hold on now. Something I want to read to hear in this verse. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world. So the condemnation of the world at that time was because Noah believed the word of God. And that brought condemnation to the rest of the world. Now, there is a group. Glory to God. This group is called the remnant. God always has a remnant. God is never left without his people. You know, one time Elijah thought he was the only one. God had to straighten him out. You're not the only one. I got 7,000 knees that I've not bowed to Baal. You know, the moment there is one person like a Noah, and Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. Now, Noah acting with fear, believing what God said, caused him to condemn the rest of the world. Now, we, at the end of the age, believing the word of God, that Christ is coming back and getting ourselves into readiness for his incarnation, that condemns the rest of the world. Unfortunately, you know, for the world. Now, we don't want the world to be condemned. God doesn't want the world to be condemned, but it is what it is. When one person believes, the rest are condemned. When the group that will believe God at the end believes, well, the rest of the world is condemned. Now, which side of the coin are you going to be? Every coin has two sides. So, you know, are we going to be on the side that will believe the Lord? Huh? Or if you don't believe, see, you can't be, there is no neutral. If you believe the Lord, you're on this side. If you don't believe, you're on that side. There's no neutral. There's no neutrality in this thing. So, the wrath of God, the consequence, those are the wrath of God is a consequence of the world rejecting God's righteousness. The world has turned to bestiality, behaving like animals, even laying with animals and all kinds of things we can't even speak of. Men with men, women with women, all kinds of horrible stuff. Some people don't even know what they are. They don't know whether they're a man or a woman. They're even teaching their young children today to not be a boy and not be a girl. Just be anything you want to be. Today you can be a boy. Tomorrow you can be a girl. And next time you can be a boy again. You know, confusion and darkness. I mean, This is the cage of every foul spirit is now being released upon the world. And that's why we got to pray and hold on dearly to your young children. For there's an unleashing of demonic spirits right now that's going on. It's part of God's judgment and the consequences of rejecting God's righteousness. But the good news is this. That's why I ventured into that side of it a little bit. The good news is this. According to Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 19, there's always good news in even the things where it looks like the devil has the upper hand. Devil can never have the upper hand. So don't even worry about that. But even when it looks like he has the upper hand, well, you know, here's what it says. So shall they fear the name of the Lord. See, from the west and his glory from the east, which is the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, even as it is now. You know, I mean, LGBTQ, XYZ, you know, put any letters to it now. Turn the world backwards. Turn even the hearts of the children. And remember what God said about, if anyone will offend any of these little ones, you mess with these little ones, better leave them alone. It's better for somebody to put a milestone around their neck and they should be cast into the sea than for them to mess with these little ones. All the people that are messing with these little ones, the judgment of God is upon them. And it's upon this world and this generation, unfortunately. You know, but because of the darkness, gross darkness, Isaiah 60, these things are parallel. Gross darkness will cover the world. That's what Romans chapter 1 is saying. Say their minds will be darkened. That's gross darkness will cover the world. But the glory of God shall be seen upon you at the same time that gross darkness covers the world. Now, so when the enemy comes in like a flood with gross darkness and all this crazy stuff that's happening right now, the Spirit of the Lord at the same time will also lift up a standard against him in the sons of God. That's right. Praise God. You know, the sonship company, they're going to stand up. And we will, you know, we're ready. We will take the challenge. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And we're not going to give place to the devil. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Neither give any place to the devil, but resist him. While there is gross darkness coming upon this world because they rejected the knowledge of God. This is the good news. That will be happening simultaneously. You know, hallelujah. You know, the unparalleled unrighteousness and evil in the world on one side, and unparalleled demonstration of the glory of God on the other side. You know, it's called, and it's the same thing. It's always been, even from the beginning, the tree of life, right there, and that mixed up tree, right there as well. You know, so the tree of life is always going to outshine. Now, where is the tree of knowledge of good and evil at the end? It's nowhere to be found. In Revelation chapter 22, it was the tree of life that persisted and was in the midst of the river, and the leaves were still giving life to the nations. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, mixed up mystery of, you know, iniquity, has been destroyed, finally. So, and this is what is going to do it. Arise and shine. For the glory, he said, thy light is come. Ha! And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Glory to God. For behold, gross darkness. See, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness shall cover the people. But at the same time, the Lord shall arise upon thee. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about our heavenly clothing that's coming. You know, it's this thing we're talking about, the Lord incarnating his people, you know, and his glory will be physically seen upon us. The Gentiles shall come to thy light. And that's, you know, unsaved. The unsaved peoples of the world, you know, they will come because, and even kings and different things, because the light is come upon the sons of God. So that's good news for the children of God. Not so good for the world, but the ark of safety is here. Anybody could come, but they won't come. That's the problem. You know, they mocked at Noah and laughed at him instead of coming into the ark. But the day that God shut that door to that ark, nobody was laughing then. You know, because the flood came and took them all away. Now, so this is the way it is. The handwriting is on the wall for the world because they have chosen to abandon the knowledge of God. But this very knowledge of God that they have chosen to reject, here's what's going to happen. The sons of God will cause that knowledge to flourish again. Listen to this. The earth, halabashendo kosoria, shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. Even as the waters cover the sea. It's going to be, you know, the devil and the world, they reject the knowledge of his glory, but the earth is going to be filled with it. Glory to God. Because we will be emanating, we'll be oozing out, you know, the glory of God. Just like Adam was at the beginning. He was just oozing glory. It was this glory that kept everything in check. The glory that was upon him caused everything to be at peace and at rest. Everything. The plants flourished, the animals, everything was, they were just subdued. Hallelujah. There was nothing wild. Everything was beautiful. It was when, according to Romans 3 and 23, when Adam fell short of the glory, it was when he lost the glory that everything began to rebel because they could not have instruction. Anyway, Adam didn't even need to say anything before. The glory of God was upon him. Just put everything in check. You know, and that glory is returning. The knowledge of it is going to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Glory to God. You know, and the judgment of the world will be that while this light is shining, they remain in darkness. Nobody wants to be a part of that darkness. But finally, all the light will be taken out. And the beast kingdom, we know that. But, you know, we who are the sons of God, we must shine the light. Jesus said, let your light so shine that the world may see. That's right. So we must represent. Praise the Lord. So that's a wrap for Romans chapter 1. I was reading it, and it was very gloomy. And I said, look, I don't want to talk about all this gloomy stuff. So, you know, the Lord put it in my mind to change it and bring some good stuff out of it. Even though Romans chapter 1 is, you know, the ending of it is very, very bad for those that know the knowledge of God, know that God hate these things, but yet do it. And even glorify those that are doing it. Very gloomy, but we brought, you know, something glorious, you know, to compare or contrast rather, you know, that layers. Then that stuff's happening in the negative dark world. But here is the glory of God that's happening for the children of God. Praise the Lord. So let's put that as a wrap for Romans chapter 1. And there is more to come for the book of Romans. We've just barely started, and the rest of it is actually more good news as we go through the rest of the chapters. More good news. A little bit also, you know, in chapter 2, still talking about people that reject the righteousness of God and so on. But, you know, finally, we're going to get into some really good stuff in this book. So I'm going to wrap it up here. And I encourage us to read ahead. If the more you read ahead, the more you'll be ready to participate when sharing time comes. You can even ask questions. I mean, they used to ask Jesus questions after he would teach something, like the parables. If they didn't understand, then they would come. That's the disciples. And they would ask him to explain something. So, you know, you're able to be better prepared to ask questions and so forth. Because when we study Bible study, you know what we're going to be studying. It's not like, you know, these messages that we preach every day. You don't know what's coming. Sometimes I myself don't know what's coming. But this one, we know what we are studying. So you can study ahead and be ready. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you. I give you all the praise. And I give you all the glory. And as we study, to continue in this studying of this book, we pray that as we get deeper and deeper revelation, the Holy Spirit will open up good treasure, treasures of wisdom and understanding unto us, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that we may know the things that are freely given us of God, that we may also inherit the righteousness of God, even as we will see in later chapters of this book. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. We pray for those who have come under condemnation because they rejected the light. There may still be some, Lord, that are bound under this judgment, but are, you know, destined for eternal life. Because you said that the God added to the church such as should be saved. Now, I pray for such. Jesus said, I pray not for the world. The world cannot be saved. But I pray for those who will receive the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those, Lord, that will pull them out of there in the name of Jesus. Cause the gospel to go to those that will receive it. And pull them out of there, Lord, before it is too late. And that my house may be filled, Jesus said. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.